Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. This is John Wadsworth. We just got back from church. We go to Covenant Baptist Church in Slidell, Louisiana. So we just returned from that. It was a good message from our pastor. So we're going to finish up the introduction to Genesis, the record. The Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings. And the last part of the introduction is the anticipation of eternity. Genesis is important not only as a history of man's origin, but also as a prophecy of man's future. The Book of Revelation should be taken literally, no less than the Book of Genesis. Paradise lost in Genesis becomes paradise regained in Revelation. The first chapters of Genesis describe a perfect world made for man and placed under his dominion. Had man not sinned, he would have continued to rule and develop that perfect world. For man's good and God's glory, since God cannot be defeated in his purpose, even though sin and the curse have come in as intruders for a time, we can be sure that all God intended in the beginning will ultimately be consummated. The earth, therefore, will be restored to its original perfection and will continue eternally. Sin and the curse will be removed and death will be no more. It is instructive, therefore, to compare the people and events in Genesis with those in Revelation, and to a lesser extent in other prophecies of the future. We can learn much about the original world by the study of Revelation, and much about the final world by the study of Genesis. In a very real sense, they are essentially the same. These worlds are not quite the same, of course, since man in the first world, though sinless, was yet untested. The first world was suited as a probational world, still somewhat tentative, though perfect and flawless for its purpose. In the final world, man, though having experienced sin and failure, has also experienced redemption and renewal. He will have been made perfect and eternal, and so, therefore, will his world be made perfect and unchanging, no longer with aspects appropriate to a probationary period, but equipped ideally and fully as man's eternal home in the presence of God, his Creator and Savior. For example, note the following comparisons between the original world and the final world. Well, the probationary world that's found in Genesis. Well, the visions of light and darkness in the eternal world, which is located, which is explained in Revelation. There is no night there, Revelation 21:25. Probationary, the visions of land and sea, Genesis 1:10. In eternal world, no more sea, Revelation 21:1. Genesis, probationary, rule of sun and moon, Genesis 1:16. In the eternal, no need of sun or moon, Revelation 21:23. Probationary world, man in a prepared garden, Genesis 2:8-9. In the eternal world, man in a prepared city, Revelation 21:2. The river flowing out of Eden, Genesis 2:10. River flowing from God's throne, Revelation 22:1. In Genesis 2:12, gold is in the land. In Revelation 21:21, gold in the city. Genesis 2:9, the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Revelations 22:2, tree of life throughout the city. Genesis 2:12, beryllium and onyx stone. Revelation 21:19, all manner of precious stones. Genesis 3:8, God walking in the garden. Revelation 21:3, God dwelling with his people. A number of other similar and instructive comparisons could be made. Study of each would show that the particular characteristics of the first world were suited for man in the state of probationary innocence, whereas the corresponding characteristics of the eternal world will be designed for man in a state of everlasting redemption. Perhaps a more striking contrast can be noted between the characteristics of the world under God's curse and the eternal world renewed. The cursed world found in Genesis and versus the eternal world found in Revelation. The cursed world in Genesis 3:17, the cursed is ground, the ground is cursed. Revelation 22:3, no more curse. In Genesis 3:17, daily sorrow. Revelation 21:4, no more sorrow. Genesis 3:18, thorns and thistles. Revelation 21:4, no more pain. Genesis 3:19, sweat on the face. Revelation 21:4, tears wiped away. Genesis 3:18, eating herbs of the field. Revelation 22:2, 12 manners of fruit. In Genesis 3:19, and under the cursed world, returning to dust. On the eternal world, Revelation 21:4, no more death. Genesis 6:5, evil continually. Revelation 21:27, nothing that defileth. Genesis 3:21, there's coats of skin. Revelation 19:14, there's fine linen, white and clear. Genesis 3:15, Satan opposing. Revelation 20:10, Satan banished. Genesis 3:24, kept from the tree of life. Revelation 22:14, access to the tree of life. In Genesis 3:23, banished from the garden. Revelation 22:14, free entry to the city. In Genesis 3:15, Redeemer promised. Revelation 5:9-10, redemption accomplished. Many other similar contrasts could be noted. It is obvious how directly connected are the books of Genesis and Revelation. Many of the personages mentioned in Genesis also reappear in Revelation. The rainbow, associated with the Noahic covenant, Noah's covenant, in Genesis 9:16, is seen as the crown of the head of the mighty angel, probably Christ himself, in Revelation 10:1. Though it is doubtful, as some have suggested, that the beast, Revelation 13:4, is actually Nimrod, returned from the grave, it does seem that many of the attitudes and attributes of the latter are expressed again in the person of the great Antichrist of the last days. Father Abraham is pictured by Christ as in a supervisory position in the abode of the dead who are saved. Luke 16:22. The witness of the Revelation 7 are made up of 12,000, from which the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem are inscribed with the names of the 12 sons of Israel. The redeemed in heaven are seen as singing the song of Moses, Revelation 15:3. For these and many other reasons, it is evident that as an understanding of Genesis is vital to an understanding of the eternal purposes of God. Next time, we'll start part two, God and the World He Made. And this is John Wadsworth. And if you need to get in touch with me, please do so at wsm217@gmail.com. Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings, is by the Institute of Creation Research. For over 50 years, the Institute for Creation Research has equipped believers with evidence of the Bible's accuracy, authority, through scientific research, educational programs, and media presentations, all conducted within a thoroughly biblical framework. For more information, visit ICR's website at icr.org. God bless you, and may God be in everything you say and do.